How would you like to have all your needs provided for? Peace and rest from a hard journey, protection from all of your enemies, peace of mind and guidance from confusion, compassion when you're lonely, and then paradise waiting at the end of your life.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
I titled my talk, Are You a Sheep, a Shepherd, a Leader, or a Follower? And what could be more appropriate? I was laughing when I realized today's the 23rd. And I think that's some of God's humor. Four of the most popular quoted scriptures are probably John 3:16, the love chapter, which is said mostly at weddings, and then the Lord's Prayer. The reason I thought I would do this was most of you knew who Doug Grimes was. And I had the privilege of going up to the hospital to pray with him a day or two before he died. And for some reason, I just thought I would tell him about Psalm 23, things that I had learned through my Christian walk. At the time, Doug wasn't conscious. And I'd learned from being on the rescue squad that one of the last things and senses that a person will lose before they die is their hearing. So I went ahead and I told him my short version of Psalm 23. And I didn't know how much time I was going to have, so I kind of did it really quick. But today I'd like to kind of expand on that. And one of the questions I have for you is, how would you like to have all your needs provided for? Peace and rest from a hard journey, protection from all of your enemies, peace of mind and guidance from confusion, and compassion when you're lonely, and then paradise waiting at the end of your life. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. The book of Psalms is known to be called the Book of Praises. And King David did this collection of songs and hymns for his worship in the temple in Jerusalem. And it's been around for over 3,000 years. And today it's still just as profound as it was back then. Nearly all the Orthodox Jews believe that David wrote all the Psalms. But we know that I believe it was 27 Psalms that his actual name was mentioned in. He's also known as the hero of Israel's songs. And some also think that David got his collection of songs and psalms by from Adam, from Abraham, Melchizedek, Moses, 10 elders, and Ezra. But like I said, only 74 of them were is where David's name was mentioned. 12 of the psalms are credited to Asaph. 12 of them are attributed to Korah, 2 to Solomon, 1 to Moses, and 1 to Hiram and Etham. And 34 of the Psalms, nobody has any idea who wrote them. Here's some facts about sheep. The most desired and popular sheep are what they call black-faced or black, no, sheep. And it's really interesting that the picture you're looking at here is exactly what I'm talking about. And Susan's the one who found this picture. And I thought how neat it was that God works everything all out, all the little details, you know. And there's all types of different sheep, but these are the most popular and sought after. Sometimes you'll see these sheep, they'll have a band of colored ribbons hanging from their neck. And what that represents is that different shepherds will come out into the fields and they'll examine all the sheep and the ones that are most desirable. They kind of award them with these little ribbons on them. Sheep also have to have good balance because of all the terrain, the mountain terrain, and the rocks. And sheep will only come to their shepherd. I'd even gone online. I watched this one video where there's a whole bunch of sheep out in the field, and people are calling and making all kinds of noise, and sheep didn't do a thing. Didn't even lift their heads up. And the shepherd came and did his little thing, and man, these sheep, they all looked around, and they started running towards him. And I thought, boy, how neat that was, that they would only follow their shepherd. Jesus said that that he was the good shepherd in John 10, 14, and 15. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And again in John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. As you know, sheep are not too bright. I find it funny that God calls us, you know, sheep. It's kind of hard to handle. It's been known that as many as 200 sheep have jumped off a cliff, one right after another, to their death. Did you ever, as you were a kid, have your parents say, well, if so-and-so did this, would you jump off the cliff and follow him? Well, that's where I come from. that was said to me many times as a child. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So unless we're brought back to the fold, we have no hope. In my study, I discovered that dogs were never mentioned in Scripture about being shepherd dogs. And I thought, why? That's kind of unusual. Dogs are mentioned, but a dog is one of the most important tools of a shepherd. I did a little searching on the internet, and there was a dog in 1993 named Spot, of course. he and his shepherd owner were in a contest where they had to work together as a team. And what they would do is they would stand in the outskirts of a big field, and you'd look out to this field and you saw nothing but land and maybe some trees, and then you saw some little obstacle courses, but you didn't see any sheep. Well, they would set a timer, and as soon as that timer went off, the shepherd and the sheep had to work together as a team and go find these sheep and then put them through this obstacle course. And after they did that, the sheep had to end up in an octagon corral. And you can go online and actually watch this video. It's unbelievable. And the dog was only directed by a whistle from the shepherd. every time the shepherd would blow the whistle a certain way, the dog knew what movement he should go. And at the very end of the video, it shows this empty corral with the gate open. And there was a long rope, maybe 20 feet long, that went from the gate to the shepherd's hand. The dog would listen to these whistles and take the sheep and make sure they all stayed together too. And he would get them to come in towards the entrance of this corral. And as he got to the entrance, the shepherd would hold at one end of the rope. And if the sheep were in front of him, he would just take the rope and keep walking. The dog would keep the sheep over here. And pretty soon the sheep walked in. Shepherd closed the gate with the rope. And I thought, wow, that's really neat. But what about the dog? He did most of the work. And the shepherd gets the credit. And I thought, you know, it's really neat. The dog is kind of like the Holy Spirit. He's in the background. And he's doing all the work. But the shepherd gets the credit. And I thought, you know, here's some more humor of God. Dog's pulled backward, this guy. And I thought, well, it's kind of neat. When they finished this contest, Spot was the only dog that had ever received more than 100 points. And to this day, I don't think that record had been broken. Well, David was an older man when he wrote the Psalms, and many of the Psalms are full of complaints, but Psalm 23 is full of comfort. And he writes this psalm thinking about his trade as a shepherd. And God being a shepherd and a sheep. I think about my own trade. Many of you know I was a painter for 55 years and retired the first of the year. And I thought, boy, I can kind of relate to the analogy of taking my trade and putting it towards a spiritual analogy, like David did. And I kind of think if I were to have written that psalm, I may have started out something like this. The Lord is my shepherd. Or no, not the Lord, my shepherd. That's what David would say. I'd have to say, the Lord is my painter and decorator. He makes me to lie down my drop cloths so that I don't get sued. I could never improve on David's words. But believe me, there's a lot of analogies that I could use. Like maybe he passes all the broken relationships and washes away all the sin stains on my heart before he applies the living and life-giving blood red on it. Because we all need a new heart. So, David starts out with, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. This psalm was written by a shepherd for a shepherd. And David thought like a sheep and a shepherd at the same time. And he's also pointing the way that Jesus was doing the same thing. He was a shepherd and a sheep at the same time. But he was the perfect Lamb of God without sin. And he even said, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. Well, David knew that sheep could not survive on their own. And if you think about it, you'll never see a group of wild sheep. They can't survive on their own. They need 24-hour care. Sheep are kind of like babies all their lives. It kind of reminds me of a study that they did for children and the relationships with their mother. So they took these babies and they put them on a pedestal that was like 8 feet high. And there was two pedestals, and they're about 12 feet apart. And they were covered with pure glass. And they put the baby up there on top of the pedestal and let the baby look at the mother, who was on one side. And the baby started crawling on the glass, and the mother would make a sound and say, "Stop." And the baby would look at the expression on the mother's face, and the baby would look down, and the baby would stop. But if the mother said, "Come on, it's okay," and smiled, the baby would just keep climbing, even though it looked like it was going to be dangerous. And I thought, wow, that's kind of like what we do with God. You know, if we keep our eyes on Him, nothing's going to hurt us, and we're not going to fall. I think that's what happened to that pastor. I think he took his eyes off of God. And like Matt says, every one of us do the same thing. Sheep have a tendency to go astray. And when they do, they get lost. But a lot of times, they cause more damage because when they go astray, other sheep follow. And now the shepherd's got a big job on his hand. And even if they don't follow, the shepherd now has to go after that sheep. And while he's looking for the one, the other ones become in a position where they could run into danger because the shepherd's not there to watch him. Yet, that's not with God. He can still go after the lost one and take care of the ones that are who they think are left alone. It also says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And sheep sometimes have to be forced to lay down, because they'll just keep going until they drop. And so the shepherd will notice that the sheep's just not, you know, taking care of himself. So he'll actually go over there and force the sheep to lay down. And notice it says that it's a green pastures, which means it's full of life. And it has plenty of water and sunshine and shade, because the pasture is full of nutrition. But where there's life, there's also danger. And sometimes God has to cause or allow things in our lives to get our attention, to slow down and rest. And that's why He gave us Sundays. Ask yourself, are you taking the time to rest from life's daily activities? And are you spending time with Him? It goes on to say, He leads me beside the still waters. Note it says that the water is still, and it's not rushing. You'll never see a sheep drink out of a running brook or a running stream. And it's because the worst thing that can happen to a sheep is that it gets wet. Wool is really like a sponge, and it absorbs water very fast, and it takes a long time to dry out. I don't know if you're familiar with a sea sponge, not just the regular sponge you can go buy in the store, but an actual sea sponge. We use it in our trade because they last a long time, and you could take a hard sponge. If you just dip it in water and take it out, it's still hard. But if you keep that in there, the longer you keep the sponge in there, the more that it holds water. And if you were just take that wet sponge and just lay it there and let it dry out, it takes quite a while. So, so if a sheep gets wet, it's getting weighed down. And water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. So let's say the average sheep could absorb 5 gallons of water. Well, it's a third of his weight. It's added 40 pounds of weight that sheep is carrying. And if he falls in the creek, he's up a creek, I'll tell you that. When it says still waters, it sounds strange that, still water is kind of stagnant. But that's not what it really means here. Still water is water that looks still, but it's actually moving. It's so still, it's like if you were to go out early in the morning and take a look at Wonder Lake, you would see that like a sheet of glass. But the same lake, if you go to the dam and you look at it, flowing over water like crazy. But yet the water is looking still. Well, what a shepherd would do is he would take the sheep by a running stream and he'd lean down and he would dig a trench into the ground. And he would allow the water to flow into this trench, into a pool. And after it's filled, he'd dam up the entrance. And now that fresh, cool water is still. And the sheep can drink out of it without putting their whole head in it or getting all wet. And that's what God does for us. You know, he'll bend over backwards to take good care of us. Another thing too, if water is left still for quite a while, now it becomes stagnant and it can breed bacteria, disease, mosquitoes. And we all know what the mosquitoes are doing this year. They say that Wonder Lake actually has 100 streams that run through it. And I had read this years ago when we first moved to Wonder Lake. And now that they're dredging it, I can't wait to see how clean it's going to look when they're done. Jesus also said to the woman at the well, I have living water to drink, so you won't be thirsty again. My question to you is, are you experiencing that living water that God only can give? Verse goes on to say, he restores my soul. David had observed the sheep after laying down and resting and being refreshed with cool water. He also may have looked back at his own life and saw how God brought him back into fellowship after his sin with Bathsheba and his murder with Uriah. And can you just imagine how Jesus must have felt when he prayed to his Father to remove the cup from him and he had to drink it. And God didn't deliver him from it, but he raised him from the dead instead. And that's how their relationship was restored. My question to you is there something in your life that needs to be repaired or to have a closer walk with him or someone else? You know, I'm supposed to be clicking this every time. See? That's what Susan did for me. I can't see it up there. Isn't that great? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And here David must have been thinking about his own reputation as a shepherd. If a shepherd were to lose a sheep, no one's going to hire him. Kind of like me, if I did a bad paint job, I might as well move away. In fact, that's what a shepherd would have to do if he got a bad reputation. He was considered a bad shepherd. And he couldn't get a job anymore. So he would have to move away, if that was his only trade. I think of how he had to guide all the sheep from the tops of the mountains down into the valley, because that could have been a very dangerous feat to go through. Some places were so narrow that they could fall. And again, he'd be blamed, because that was his responsibility, and the good shepherd wouldn't let that happen. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it." That's the NIV version. My question to you is, what path are you on, and who are you following? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I had a friend years ago that he used this verse to prove that God was also called Art. Get it?
Got it.
Okay. David is no doubt thinking the sheep need to be kept calm in the valley because he wants them all together, because he doesn't want a stampede on his hands. And note he says that they walk, they don't run. Running can be pretty dangerous, and a good shepherd will prevent this from this kind of happening. The shepherd will go before the sheep to check the landscape for any danger, and when you stop to think about a shadow can't really hurt you. It's just a shadow, you know. Jesus says that death has been conquered by him. I imagine David thought about the time Saul was trying to kill him, and when he found himself so close to him that he cut a piece of his clothing off. I was thinking, you know, boy, if you're in the cave, and the reason he was in the cave was Saul was trying to kill him. And so he was hiding. Well, if you ever go into a dark room and you're there for a while, your eyes become adjusted to it. And you can see pretty good, even though it's a little dark. And I wonder, why didn't Saul see David? Well, Saul was, he had to go. And he was out in the sunlight. And I imagine he's running. And so he's getting into this cave. Well, his eyes hadn't had time to adjust to anything. And he just hurried up and was going to do his thing. So I'm sure David is the one who needed to go to the bathroom at that time. He sees Saul coming in. He's thinking, this is it. But imagine that he was that close to Saul. And they didn't have scissors back then. He must have had a pretty sharp knife. And he could have done a lot of damage to Saul, but he didn't. It says here that death cannot separate us from the love of God. Scripture tells us, O death, where is thy sting? Well, the sting of death is sin. And Jesus bore our sin and took away the sting of death. That's where the sting went. What valley are you going through or have gone through? And are you walking with him or running from him? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here David must have been thinking of the times that he killed the lion and the bear in 1 Samuel 17:36. It was a custom that all shepherds carry a rod and a staff. And the ride was a short oak club that often had a big knot at the end of it. And some shepherds would take a spike and they would drive it into the end of the rod to cause more damage to his victim. It also had a leather strap at the end that they could attach to their belt, or they could put their hand through it and hold on to the rod so that when they swung it, should they miss, the rod wouldn't keep going. The strap would stay around his wrist. It would be similar to what we call a billy club for a policeman today, not as deadly, or more deadly, rather. And then, of course, he could also use it to defend himself against robbers. And the staff, it was used to keep one's balance because of all the terrain. But it also was a thing of comfort for the sheep, because if a sheep were to fall into a crevasse and the shepherd couldn't reach down to it, he would take the curved end and he would get it around the sheep's neck and lift the sheep up to safety. Another custom that they used to do is they would hold it out and have the sheep walk under it. And every 10th sheep, they would dab their back with a color. And I'm not sure what they used for a color. Would it be like paint or something? And the reason they did it was every 10th sheep was going to be a sacrifice to God. So this way, they didn't have to go looking for them later on. They just pick out the colored ones. And I was thinking, that's kind of a bad way to do that, I think, because Scripture says that they were supposed to give to the Lord the good sheep. They didn't seem like to take the time to say, maybe we should give them the ones with the ribbons on their neck. They didn't do that. They just said, well, every 10th one is good enough. We have to ask ourselves, what do we give to the Lord? Are we giving him the leftovers? Or are we giving him the good stuff? In the NIV, the rod is referred to as a scepter. Okay, have you ever seen the picture of Jesus carrying the sheep? It's a pretty popular one. And it looks pretty comforting, doesn't it? There it is. Well, it is comforting. But like Paul Harvey would say, now the rest of the story. If a sheep keeps going astray, like I said, it causes other sheep to follow. And it puts everybody in danger. So, because the shepherd loves all the sheep the same, what he would do if you had a sheep that just kept on going, this has got to stop. So he'd take the sheep and he'd hold it up by its front legs, and he would take the rod and he'd break the back legs. And we think, whoa, that's terrible. But now the shepherd set the broken legs and put it on its back and around its neck. And he carried it until the sheep could walk again. And once that sheep could walk again, it never left the shepherd. Now the sheep that may have followed him astray want to stay close to him too. I can relate to that. That's my truck. And I was 24 years old when I was going to work. I hit head on with another vehicle, going 65 miles an hour, both of us. And that's the results of what could cause two broken legs. I've been there, done it. Reminded of it every day. I learned what grace was because I wasn't a Christian here. And I could have been spending the last 48 years in hell. But instead, I'm standing here. Now, I'm not saying that God caused that, but he allowed it. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why? And you may not know the answer for years. And all he wants you to do is trust him. Don't question him. He's still in control, whether you know it or not. Can you see if there's been anything in your life that God has disciplined you with? It's caused you a lot of hurt. But getting back to the shepherd's story. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I see David reflecting on how he would go before the sheep in the green pastures full of life and death. As David protected him from the predators like bears, mountain lions, and yet one of the biggest dangers to the sheep were serpents or snakes. And what the shepherds would do is he would go before the sheep, and he would look on the ground for snake holes. And if he spotted one, he would take a little oil from his flask, and he'd pour it down and drain the snake hole. And if there was a snake in there, it would pop his head up. And as soon as he popped his head up, he would take his rod or his staff, and he'd whack the snake's head and kill it. And if there wasn't a snake in the hole, as another protection, he would rub this oil on all the sheep's noses and around their mouth. So now if the snake was still in there and he popped his head back out to attack the sheep, he'd actually slide off the face of the sheep and not allow it to be harmed. And so here, the sheep would continue grazing in the presence of his enemy. And that's what God does with us. You know, we live in an awfully evil world, and yet there's a lot of beauty. And when you really stop to think about it, all of the things that can take your life, diseases, sicknesses, terrorists, accidents, you name it, it's more of a miracle that we're alive. It's also kind of like calling ahead to a restaurant, getting a reservation. And Jesus himself even said, I prepare a table before you. And he told his disciples when he ate the bread at the Last Supper that he would not eat it again until he did it with them in heaven. So there's going to be quite a banquet waiting for us. Have you thanked God for all his provisions and for meeting your spiritual needs? Thou anointest my head with oil. David relates to this because all shepherds would carry a flask of oil and wine to apply to the wounds of the sheep or to himself. One of the questions too I have is, we're to love one another, but are we loving our enemies? Where it says, my cup runneth over. I remember that I told you about how sheep don't want to get wet. If there's no streams for a sheep to drink out of, what a shepherd would do is he would take a cup and he would take and pour water into this cup until it overflowed, allowing the shepherd or the sheep to drink out of the top of the cup. And he would keep it flowing so that as the sheep drank, the cup wouldn't get empty. He wouldn't have to stick his head all the way in. And I thought it was kind of neat how these illustrations all can relate to how God takes care of us. He gives us more than we need. And like it says, he gives us what we need, not always what we want. Jesus had a cup to drink, and it was overflowing with the world of sin. In Matthew 26:39, he asked his father, as he fell on his face, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And again a second time, in Matthew 26:42, he asked his father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The cup he drank led to his death so that we could have life. In Mark 9:41 it says, whoever shall give a cup of water to drink to in my name, because you believe in Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. And on the cross, Jesus referred to drink the bitter herb and mixed with water. And it could have even helped him with his pain, but he refused it. Are you living your life in such a way that you are causing someone to be thirsty for Jesus? Surely goodness and mercy should follow me all the days of my life. And I smile when I read this verse, because those of you who knew Dave Manson, who used to be our Awana leader years ago, he said that this was his most favorite verse in all the scriptures. And it was because his name was, or his wife's name was Shirley. And I often wondered, he's got two children, boy and girl. Why didn't you name Goodness and Mercy? In this verse, I don't think that David was thinking of the future as much as the past. I think he was looking back on how God had showed him goodness and mercy for his past sins. In Psalms 51:11, David said, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Just think, Jesus took God's judgment for man's sin to give us goodness and mercy that we didn't deserve. Have you ever prayed for something like this? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Be careful what you pray for. Is there someone that in your life that you might have to forgive? Goodness and mercy comes in many forms, like health, forgiveness, acceptance, loyalty, adoption, provisions, shelter, protection, but most of all, eternal security. How are you showing goodness and mercy to others? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd would often take the sheep into a cave to get them out of maybe the hot sun in the summer or a heavy rain. or even harsh winters. It's been known that sheep have been known to lay down in the snow and actually freeze to the ground. And like I said, they're not too bright. The shepherd would often have to just go and cut the wool off to free him from the frozen ground. And once the sheep are secure, the shepherd would stand guard at the entrance of the cave so that if any predators want to get to the sheep, they'd have to get through the shepherd first. And I imagine that David may have thought about taking in, that's a hard name to pronounce, but we'll give it a try here. Mephibosheth. And he was Jonathan's son. And he was born with a disability. And then his carekeeper or babysitter dropped him and became paralyzed and needed 24-hour care. Well, David took him in after Jonathan died. And he was the grandson of Saul, which was David's enemy. So I imagine how David could relate to the scripture by thinking about him. Kind of like a picture of Jesus carrying that lame sheep. In John 15:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I call you friends." And in John 14:1-3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We will all be adopted as sons and daughters and inherit all that is his. What will you hear from God at the end of your life? Will you hear Matthew 7:21-23? Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils? And in your name done mighty works?" And then will I say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Or are you going to hear John 10:9, where Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures." So what? When I started my talk, I asked you, are you a sheep or a shepherd, a leader or a follower, or both? You can't be a leader until you learn how to follow. And I asked you several questions that only you can answer. And I learned this from Jesus, because he would often ask questions that he already knew the answers to. He wanted them to consider what he knew they already knew, for they had the answers in their minds. This was his way to allow them to change their ways, if necessary, without another word. Is there anything in your life that you need changed? Let's pray. Lord, you are our Savior, our Shepherd. Thank you for that relationship. We shall not want, because you always give us what we need. And thank you for laying us down in the green pastures for rest. You lead us, Lord, beside the still waters to restore our souls and to bring healing to us. We thank you for leading us in the paths of righteousness and guidance for Jesus' sake and glory. And even though we walk through the valley of death and testing, we will fear no evil because you will protect us because of your faithfulness. Your rod and your staff will help protect us, comfort us, and discipline us when needed. And we thank you for providing your nourishment to us in this evil world. We thank you too, Lord, for leading us in the paths of righteousness and guidance for Jesus' sake and glory, even though we walk through that valley of death and testing. We're not going to fear any evil because you will protect us, because you are faithful. Your rod and your staff will also help us in this world system, because you're our only hope. And you anoint us with the oil of help and healing for our bodies and our souls. And our cups run over with abundance of your blessings. Thank you too for the goodness and the mercy that you've showed us yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And we look forward to being with you in your house eternally, where we'll be secure forever and ever. Amen.